Luke chapter 2. Oh, I forgot the page number. If anybody has that page number, shout it out. 762 in your red pew Bibles. I encourage you to follow along as we look at this Christmas story a little bit here. We're in the middle of the Advent season, kind of doing a series based on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, where the Apostle Paul was excited as he was thinking about Jesus, and he just says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thank you for Jesus, who is with, we can't put words to him, enough words to him. So we've been looking at these gifts that God has given us through the person of Jesus, the gift of hope and peace, and this week we're going to look at the gift of joy. And we think of the angels when they spoke to the shepherds, that scripture said, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Joy is to be one of the marks of Christians as we live our life, mentioned all throughout the New Testament. In fact, even Jesus said to his disciples on the worst night of his life, in the book of John, chapter 15, their world is falling apart. They know Jesus, something's wrong with him. There's a lot of conflict going on. And Jesus told them this last night. He said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I've always been amazed at that verse. And so joy is a gift from Jesus to every believer. But let's be honest here. Joy is often difficult to come by, isn't it? It's often difficult to be joyful when there's a lot of suffering going on in the world. We just turn on the news and we see all that stuff. Earlier this week, I was sitting reading, had some free time. I was sitting on the couch reading a book I was getting caught up on. And a Christmas tree was right there. Fire was going in the fireplace. Had my cup of tea. Life was good. It was one of those moments. Life was good. And a little bit later on, I started thinking about the war in Ukraine. I said, there's people that are going to celebrate Christmas that are in the midst of a war that are worried about getting missiles flung at them. I said, here I am having this time of joy, just experience life. But on the other side of the world, people are not. And we know that in our own situations. We have people that we know that are going through a difficult time. And sometimes if we're having a good time, we're kind of feeling guilty, right? So, well, how do I enjoy this moment when I know that somebody that I love is not going through a time of suffering? So sometimes it's hard to deal with that joy. Sometimes it's just in our nature. Christmas time, we know, is a time of joy, but let's be honest, it's a time for depression with a lot of people. The blues at Christmas time is real. And you know, for whatever it is, what goes on in people's brains, just I'm talking about the natural chemicals that cause depression. We want to be joyful. People sometimes want to be joyful, but it's gloomy. It just overwhelms them. And then let's just face it, sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we just wore out, and our mind gets preoccupied with other things, and it is just difficult to find joy. But as we come back to Scripture, one of the gifts of God is joy that comes through Jesus Christ. So what I want us to try and do is just look at joy in this Christmas story here, and to see if we can't learn how to get a greater hold on that joy that this passage talks about in Scripture. We talked about hope. I would just say this. There is hope in finding joy. Let me put it that way. So Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 8. Mary had just given birth to the baby Jesus, wrapped him in cloths, put him in the manger. And let's read this very, very familiar passage. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the highest heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I was thinking about this story. What I often like to do when I sit and think about Scripture is just sit and put myself in the story. You know, it's a good thing to do. And I started wondering about these shepherds. And I started wondering, what would it be like to be a shepherd 25 years after this event? Okay, down the road, this big thing happened. How did this affect them? Because after this event, they probably went back to shepherding. Right? It's not very unlikely that any of them got a book deal. Okay? They probably didn't make the rounds on Good Morning America or Entertainment Tonight and anything like that. They probably just, they might have been local heroes for a little bit, right? But then you go back to normal life of raising sheep and raising your family, dealing with life's problems like everybody has to. You got sick family members, you got aging parents you got to take care of, you got high taxes, you got brutal Romans, all this place. So you just go back to kind of normal life. And so I began to just start thinking a little bit, what if we had a tale of two shepherds here? Two shepherds. Now, this is not in the Bible, but I'm just thinking outside the box a little bit, so just roll with me, okay? And we have one of these shepherds who goes back to the way life was. He's got great memories, of this event of seeing Jesus and hearing the angels. But over time, as time goes on and memories begin to fade and the popularity of seeing that wanes, he just kind of becomes cynical. He just becomes grumpy. Just dealing with life. And he's constantly looking back to those glory days when that happened. And that was so exciting. And he thought about those times back then when times were different back then. People were more religious back then. People feared God back during that time. And God did big things like bring the Messiah or having angels appear. And then maybe our shepherd is saying, that happened so many years ago, and just society is different now. People are just different now. They've kind of lost their way. They're not as committed to God as they used to. And so shepherd number one is just kind of angry, just kind of complains, longing for the good old days back then. Another shepherd, though, shepherd number two, what is he doing maybe 25 years later? Perhaps he's living with still joy. He's still living in joy. That experience with the angels and seeing the baby Messiah, that changed him on that day. And he has been experiencing the joy of that visit over and over and over again. The times have changed, yes. Society has changed, yes. But the joy that he experienced on that day had lasting power. And so we ask the question, how did shepherd number two keep that joy alive in his life all those years? Well, I think there are a couple reasons. I think one might be this. In humility, he revisited that event often, saying this, God showed up to me. God showed up to me, with an emphasis on me. Now, many of you know that shepherds are a lowly bunch. They're called lowly shepherds, right? And they're called lowly shepherds because people didn't think much of shepherds back then. That wasn't a real big, good profession to get into, and people didn't think too highly of them. You spent a lot of time with animals, and because you spent a lot of time with animals, you smelled like those animals that you spent a lot of time with. You traveled a lot. There's shepherds, you know, traveling from field to field, okay? And you couldn't always make it back to the synagogue to worship because you had time commitments, and you couldn't keep the rituals of the faith because you were always out in the field. And so often the religious leaders and other people would look down upon the shepherds because they weren't as spiritual as everybody else, all right? But on this night, our shepherd friend number two here, God visited him. He visited them that night. God didn't go to the kings. He didn't go to the mayor of Bethlehem. He didn't go to the important people. The shepherds got the inside information of what God was doing. They got it first. Now, usually if you're a shepherd way out in the field, when are you getting the information? You're getting the secondhand and third information by the time it gets out to you. But here, the news comes to you first. And shepherd number two is thinking, you know what? God thinks that we're important enough that we get this news first. And our shepherd friend played this scene over and over. God showed up to me. God showed up to me. And the message that he got that brought him joy was this: God loves and cares about me. Other people might not, but God does. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said this, and a lot of these scriptures here are going to be in your outline. I want to encourage you to look at your outline for these. He said this: here's a word, as he writes to Timothy, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, public sinner number one, Paul says. I'm proof of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy, and now God shows me off. Evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. In humility, Paul's saying, listen, Timothy, I was a terrible nobody, but God saved me and God rescued me and gave me a purpose. You know what makes joy last in our lives? When in humility, we are always grateful for God's mercy in our life. When we remember that we are messed up, broken sinners who don't deserve it, but God got our attention and drew us into his family and gave us a purpose to be a part of what he's doing here on this earth. When we remember that, I think it brings joy to our life. Here's the second thing. He remembered that evil's days are numbered. Scripture and Old Testament prophets talk about how one day God is going to send Messiah to make things right in this world. And people back in Jesus' day, they hoped for that day. They longed for that day. And they were struggling along in this mean, cold, and cruel world. But they hoped that it was not always going to be like. There's a good chance that our shepherd number two knew some of those prophecies, like in Isaiah chapter 25, which looks ahead to that day. And here's what it says. It ends with these verses. God will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him. He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And then in Isaiah 35, it says this, that in that day they will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing. Listen to that. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. How many of us sit down and like watch the evening news and just go, it happened again? Or we're dealing with sickness and people in our family that have issues and we just go, I don't know how long I can keep doing this. And this is, that hit me this week. you know, that whole sorrow and sighing, because my wife and I kind of have a joke that we sigh a lot in our house, and I'll just kind of call out, and I said, I hear sighing, you know, and there's this sense that we end up doing a lot of sighing, don't we? Now, one day, there's not going to be any sighing. Our shepherd friend was told that this baby was Messiah. And if he's the Messiah, then our shepherd friend knows this is the beginning of the end, okay? This is a beginning. God's here. God's going to do something. And you know what? That brought some joy into his life. As Christians, as believers, we know that Jesus defeated death and sin and evil on the cross. And with that resurrection, with the resurrection of a dead body, God said, you know what? I'm doing new things now. I'm beginning to put the world back to the way it was intended to be. And so we know, too, that evil's days are numbered. It's not always going to be like this. And that should bring joy to our life. It's a reason to be joyful. There's a third reason. He celebrated that God's grace is amazing. Now, the scripture doesn't say that the shepherds won the lottery, that they were the ones who were lucky enough to go see the baby Jesus. Didn't say that. Okay? It didn't say that they had been saving up their money and giving a lot of money to the synagogue so that when the time comes, the angels are going to appear, they're going to get in on that. The scripture doesn't say anything. The scripture doesn't say anything that the shepherds prayed extra. No, we're not looking at super spiritual shepherds here. Okay, kind of went around. They had the staff, shepherding staff that had the Jesus fish on it, you know, that they were walking around, that they were spiritual shepherds. We got no sign of that here. They were average, ordinary shepherds whom just God showed up to. They weren't trying, catch this, they weren't trying extra hard. They were doing normal shepherd duty. And guess what? God just graces them with his appearance there, right? And perhaps our shepherd friend realized, you know what? You can't just bring joy into your life by trying harder. You can't just do it by trying harder. You can't do it by, oh, I'm going to do this, so I'm going to get on God's good side, and then I'll be happy and joyful. Joy can't be manufactured here. It can only be received by God's grace. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Awesome verse. Paul said this. He said, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Think about what Paul is writing there. Nothing can separate us from God's love, including anything that we'll ever do. There's nothing that you can do where God will say, okay, that's it. I'm done loving you. Nothing. Even when we are at our worst, God is still committed to our well-being. God continues to reach out to us and wants to live in friendship with us. Does that not bring you joy? That is so awesome. That is so awesome. So he celebrated that God's grace is amazing. Here's the fourth one. He kept looking for Jesus. He kept looking for Jesus. Now, be with me here. If you were there and you saw Messiah as a baby and the angels told you this is Messiah, wouldn't you be anxious to hear what happens next along the way? Wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you be trying to keep zoned in? I'm going to get on the internet and see how this baby's growing up, and you're going to be kind of looking for Messiah activity somehow, some way, right? I mean, you're going to just keep checking the news. Is there any news in there about Messiah yet? I mean, I would be kind of interested in that. This wouldn't be a one-time event where, okay, I got to see the baby, man. I'd be like locked in. You know, he ought to be a teenager by now. I wonder if stuff is happening, right? Now, here's the other thing. It's not unreasonable to think that 30 years later that our shepherd number two, or all the shepherds at the time, would start hearing news about this miracle man nearby and in the Galilee. There's this guy over there that's healing people and casting out demons. And I want to think that our shepherd friend here has been extra alert, because he's been watching and he's been waiting and anxious for looking for any Messiah activity going on nearby. Are you with me there? I mean, I'm just kind of looking for that. I mean, he saw a baby Messiah, but since then he's been waiting in anticipation, looking for grown-up Messiah to start doing his thing, just like the prophet said. Do you know that even today, God wants us to be looking for him? And often we don't think about that too much. We think, you know, God's always looking down on us, and that's why we act kind of fearful. But there are scriptures that God says, I want you to look for me. In fact, he told in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, this is a good one to know, because it was written to people, to the Jewish people, when they were in captivity. And they thought, man, we've blown it. Does God even care about us anymore? And here's what God said. You will seek me, and when you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, including joy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Man, when we think about those verses, it's pretty clear that when we consistently, faithfully, passionately seek God, we will not be disappointed. But we will find God. We will find the things of God, including joy. You know, if you want to get me talking, I don't do much talking. I know probably because you see me every Sunday morning, and really enjoy talking. I'm usually not a talker, but you want to get me talking, ask me about my trip to Spain with my daughter, all right? And I can go on forever. Or ask me about my grandchildren. Y'all get that one, right? A lot of you that just say, if you ask you about your children or your grandchildren, you know, I can get a cup of coffee and just listen for a long time as you talk, right? I'll bet the shepherds were the same way. I'll bet this was, you know, this experience of seeing the angels and seeing the baby Jesus, they would talk to anybody who would listen. They would become the old guys down at McDonald's. Right, sitting around, have a cup of coffee, yammering about this and that. And you can imagine that somebody new moves into the neighborhood, someone will say to them, oh, you need to talk to old man Johnson because he was a shepherd when this happened back then, and he'll talk your ear off, you know. They would love to talk about angels and Messiah. I think here's the fifth one that kept his joy, is that our shepherd shared his experience with other people. It kept the joy fresh. It says in verse 17 that when the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And so he not only told them the event that happened, but I'm sure they told them about what it meant. Right? I'm sure he told them how that event just humbled, how they were humbled by God's mercy and by God's grace. How that event meant that evil's days were numbered. How that experience enabled him to live a life of joy. He would just say, you know what, this is why I'm full of joy, because of that event. Good question for us to think about right here. Because we have met Jesus just like their shepherds have. Right? We have met Jesus. Do other people sense the joy of Jesus in your life? Think about that. Do other people sense the joy of Jesus in your life? Now, interesting thing in this story, and I don't know if you caught it or not, but if you go back to that scripture, what the angel spoke to the shepherds, what did they say? Do not be afraid. We're in this story too. Here's what I want to say. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It's for us, okay? 2,000 years ago, this one's for us. And so my question is, are you experiencing that joy today? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. And we already know, sermon's over, okay? But hang loose, okay? Hang loose. I just want you, again, to bow your heads and just a time of silence between you and God. This story of Jesus coming to earth is an invitation for all of us to respond to God's grace and God's mercy and to become a part of God's family and to accept Jesus, as the angel said, the Savior, and to make him Lord of our life, to make him the boss of our life. This is an invitation. As we read this passage of Scripture, this is an invitation for all of us to go in with Jesus and start following him and his teachings. That's what the invitation is. And so if you've never done that in your life, I invite you to do it right now. Accept that invitation. Or perhaps you realized this at one time, but you kind of got away from it. Okay, then you just tell God, I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to recommit my life to following Jesus Christ. You know, I come up with this made-up scenario of two shepherds. And shepherd number one was excited at first about those hearing the angels and seeing baby Jesus. But shepherd number one, over time, allowed other things to steal his joy. He became cynical and lethargic and began to complain about the good old days, long for the good old days. Maybe during this time of silence, I'm going to ask you just to ask God to reveal the joy robbers in your life. Those things that threaten the joy that Jesus gives us. Listen for what he tells you. What might you do to recapture that lost joy? What are the steps you can take to bring back the joy of your salvation? Take some time to think about it. Almighty God, thank you so much for showing up to us, for making joy a part of the Christian experience, for revealing to us those joy robbers in our life, because you don't want to make us feel guilty and shame. You want us to experience joy to the fullest. And so, Lord, show us the things that we need to change. Give us the courage to make those changes with the help of your Holy Spirit. And Father, if there's anything that we need to confess, reveal that to us as well. Because we know that you've already forgiven us. Show us this new manner of living, so that we can experience the abundant life that Jesus talks about, and so that our joy may be complete. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.